Let's pray. God, we are simply blessed to be here this morning. We know that you are with us, and so we ask that you open our hearts and our minds so we can see and hear you. And the ways that we've walked in here with different chains from life, we ask that you break them. We ask that you remind us that you are a God of forgiveness, a God of love, a God who doesn't bring burdens but takes them away. So whatever burdens we need to leave here today, may we leave them here. May we experience new life and resurrection somehow so that we can go out there better prepared to face what's out there. So as we read Scripture, as we talk about things that people have been talking about for thousands of years, God, just help us to hear what we need to hear and see what we need to see. And may these words become alive and relevant for us this morning. In the resurrected name of Jesus, we all said, amen. Amen. So I heard a story one time about an extremely wealthy man. And this wealthy man was approached by a group who was a charity group in town, asking if the man would be willing to donate to their charity. Everybody knew that he was the wealthiest man in town. And so he sat there as the group explained exactly what it was they were about, what they were needing. And the man said, you know, it sounds like it's a really good thing that you're doing. And people come to me all the time asking for things. But here's what people don't know, is I have a mother. And my mother is at the point in her life where she has to be cared for 24/7. And that's not cheap. I also have a daughter who she married a man, and he was the breadwinner of the house, and she was a stay-at-home mom, and she relished that role, and she loved that role. And recently he left her, a single mom with no job, 3 kids. That's not cheap to feed 3 kids. It's not cheap to survive as a single mother. I have a son who has been caught up in addiction. And in order for him to get help, he has to go to some of the finest facilities there is. And that's not free. As a matter of fact, it's rather expensive. And if I won't give them a dime, what makes me you think I'm going to help you? Guess which one of the 7 deadly sins we're going to talk about today? Greed, that's right, that's right. We all know these people, these greedy people. But what I want to talk about today as it pertains to greed, when we think of greed, we think of stingy people, and we're going to start off there. But I think as we kind of filter through this and we read some of Jesus's teachings, I think there's going to be a wider umbrella that I know hit me and maybe hit all of us so that we can leave here better prepared to go out there. Because here's the thing, and we talked about this a little last week when we started this series on the 7 deadly sins. These are 7 ancient things that basically were sort of picked by the people, the early followers long time ago of Jesus. It's as people who lived in cities and towns, they began to kind of migrate out of that, followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, and they kind of secluded themselves. And it was at that point they were, okay, what was the things that were really preventing us from communing and following Jesus? And thus they identified these 7 things. Last week we talked about pride. Today I'm going to talk about greed, because the theory with these 7 things they identified was many times the dangerous part is they become so much a part of our life we don't even realize that they're there. They become habits, and so it's to acknowledge that. So I want to start in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, a lot of these things that surround these 7 things, Proverbs, books of wisdom, we did this last week. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 22 says this: "The miser is in a hurry to get rich and does not know that loss is sure to come." Now, the miser was, think of a play, a story. Many times stories have sort of like these stock characters. Like if you watch a movie, there's always a villain. There's always a hero. There's the dame in distress. And these were, the miser was a character, and the miser character was very stingy. And a good example for us, a miser was Ebenezer Scrooge. Remember as Ebenezer Scrooge, he was just negative and pessimistic and stingy and all of it. It says the miser, the person who is stingy and it's all about them and it's all about greed, is in a hurry to get rich but does not know that loss is sure to come. The greedy will eventually lose. I think of the movie Wall Street with Gordon Gekko, who his motto is, greed is good, greed is good, right before he's arrested for money laundering and fraud, right? For the greedy, loss surely comes. And then Proverbs 28, 25, the greedy person stirs up strife. Stirs up strife. So there's something about being greedy that causes conflict. The greedy cause conflict. But whoever trusts in the Lord will be enriched. Now, this is what's interesting about this, and we're going to play on this here for a second. This proverb sort of puts two things together that are very interesting. Greedy and strife versus trust in the Lord. The proverb puts some sort of connection between the greedy and trust in the Lord. There's a book in the New Testament, a letter. It's one of the only letters that we really don't know who wrote the letter. Many of the letters, like 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, guess who wrote them? Boy, y'all are smart. Good theologians. Like 1 Peter, 2 Peter, guess. Peter, right, right. And then there's Paul's letters, and how do we know that Paul wrote them? Because they usually start out, I, Paul, right? Or Paul here. The book of Hebrews, there's no author assigned to it. And then also, sometimes they can identify who wrote letters by comparing them to other letters, because people have specific writing styles. And so this letter in the book, the Hebrews letter, we have no clue who wrote it. But if you've ever read it, you know she's brilliant, because it's just full of, I'm a father of three girls. Hebrews 13 says this, chapter 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content. So that's one of the things. The uncontent become the greedy. Content with what you have. For he has said, the Lord has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So the proverb that we read recently just said there is some sort of correlation between being greedy and not trusting in the Lord. In this Hebrew letter, there is a correlation. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Greed, because God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Again, there's a correlation between God leaving, trusting God, and greed. Jesus talks about this in the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to go somewhere. Matthew, we're doing an old-fashioned Bible study this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. This is Jesus speaking. And it's just amazing. The correlation between these two is just, and this might be something you heard. Beware. So Jesus starts this, beware. Okay? What's he wanting to know? This is a warning. Beware of, no, the different one. No one can serve, the warning comes in a second. No one can serve two masters. Chapter 6, 24. For the slave will either hate the one and love the other, or to be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, about your body, and what you will wear. Is life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So Jesus starts off by saying, don't be consumed with wealth. You can't serve two masters. Don't serve wealth and God. And immediately goes into don't worry. Is there a connection between being greedy and not trusting that God will take care of you? Over and over and over again. In the Proverbs, in Hebrews, Jesus, don't be greedy, don't be greedy. God's going to take care of you. Don't worry about accumulating things. God's going to take care of you. There is this maybe the greedy, and what leads us to greed is not trusting the fact that God will take care of us. Or maybe we say it this way. The biggest motivation for greed is fear. Fear. Why was Scrooge so consumed with gaining more? Because he's afraid he's going to lose it. Why does the doomsday person, why is their cellar just packed with all sorts of stuff? Because of fear. Why this time last year where there's no toilet paper anywhere? But if you open somebody's garage, there was 20,000 rolls. Fear. Why are people today putting gasoline in plastic bags? Fear. You know, it's funny, a fun side note on that. I was talking to a friend today, and we were talking about this same subject. About, he's like, people are so afraid, and so that's what leading us to, you know, this whole gas thing. We're believing people are afraid. He said, but I'm still fixing to go fill my car up. Yeah, no. Fear leads to all sorts of greed. What are we afraid of? Now, Jesus tells a parable. This is a parable that perhaps some of you are familiar with that is very, very interesting to me. This is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. It's the parable of the rich fool, or the greedy fool, however you want to say it. And it starts in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." What's he wanting? I want what's mine. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And that's a legitimate question. Jesus isn't a judge. He's not an arbitrator. He's a rabbi. That's not my thing. That's not what I do. But Jesus, in all of his brilliance, sees this as an opportunity for a teaching moment, which is what rabbis do. And he said to them, "Take care." Here's the warning. "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist of the abundance of possessions." Then he told a parable. "The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, 'What should I do? For I have no place to store all these crops.' He said, 'I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grains and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?'" So God said, yeah, you stored up all these things, but you're a fool. Because tonight, all these things are being demanded. And whose are they going to be? Whose are they going to be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Now, a couple of interesting things in this that I think are important. Number one, Jesus gives this warning here. Take care. Be on guard. And it says, all kinds of greed. When we think of greed, many times we just think of what? Money, yeah. Wealth. Wealth. And some of us might say, well, you know, it's what? I don't have anything, so there's nothing to be. But there, Jesus says, no. There's what? All kinds of greed. All kinds. Think of prestige, right? I knew a guy a long, long time ago. We used to laugh. And he was a preacher. But anytime there was a camera from the newspaper around, he was in the picture. It was like every time there was a camera, he'd show up live. And it was kind of like we had a saying up in the hills about people like that. They want to be the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. You know what I'm saying? It's like the kind of people who just soak up the attention and all that stuff. Or how about power? You know anybody that's greedy in power? Did you vote? Right? Yeah, how many people power? How does totalitarian governments come about? The greed of power. I read a story one time about a mayor in Kansas several years ago who, whatever town he was in, as the mayor, he turned the town around. Crime went down, everything. I mean, papers were written about him. People said, you need to run for governor. Because if you do, you'll be a landslide because of what you did. And he said, I'm good. They're like, no. Don't you realize there's more power in that? Don't want it. Not interested. Boy, that's a breath of fresh air, isn't it? Yeah. Or what about time? How many of us are greedy with time? How many? I am. Come home. My kids want to do something. I want my time. Well, that's me being selfish and greedy. That's why, isn't it we say about people all the time? Thank you for your time, for sharing that with us. There are all sorts of things that we can, is greed, which is ours. And Jesus said, be on the lookout for all kinds of, and he's talking about in our lives. And I love the part where he says, you fool. I don't know about you, but if Jesus refers to somebody as a fool, let's pay attention. Because that's usually not Jesus's MO, right? Jesus doesn't really call people a lot a fool. Now, as I was kind of researching this and pondering on this, I came across a sermon of a preacher who is a lot better preacher than I am. And he talked about why Jesus called this man a fool. So I'm not going to steal his sermon, but I am going to quote part of his sermon. Because this guy, again, is a lot better, eloquent preacher, theologian, thinker than I am. His name is Martin Luther King Jr. Maybe you've heard of him. Anybody heard of him? If you haven't heard of him, Google. He'll tell you about it. But Martin Luther, he's known a lot for his social justice, activism, civil rights, and most of his famous sayings that we know of are either, you know, at the Capitol or in Washington or letters from jail. But people forget he was a preacher. He preached on Sundays. He preached about Jesus. And his sermons, I mean, is just like, whoa. So I want to read you an excerpt of what King says about Jesus calling this guy a fool for being greedy. And I think it's very interesting. He says this. He, being the greedy person, failed to realize his dependence on God. Okay? He talked as though he unfolded the seasons. And when he preached it, I'm sure it was a lot better than what I'm saying. And provided the fertility of the soil, controlled the rising and the setting of the sun, and regulated the natural process that produced the rain and the dew. He said, what made this guy the fool is he forgot who was the one that grew all his crops. Who was the one that sent the rain? Who was the one that made the sunshine? the greed that this guy started to do was he was the one that provided. He had an unconscious feeling that he was the creator, not the creature. I love that line. This man, centered foolishness, has had a long and oftentimes disastrous reign in the history of mankind. Sometimes it is theoretically expressed in the doctrine of materialism. So what he's coming to is this foolishness, it's not anything new. And this foolishness is something that still exists to this day. To believe that human personality is only the result of fortuitous interplay of atoms and electrons is absurd as to believe that a monkey by hitting typewriter keys at a random will eventually produce a Shakespearean play. Sheer magic. Sheer magic. Sheer magic. What made this guy foolish? He forgot he was created and created in the image of God. But he was not the creator. And sometimes when it comes to us living our lives, we all accomplish things. We all accumulate things. But according to King, don't you ever forget where it came from. Because that's when greed can come in to play. I think, and I believe, that one of the most important reasons that these early Jesus disciples put this greed in here is something that can prevent us to being a better follower of Jesus is extremely important, and here's why. And this is for my life. My wife loves art a lot more than I do. She sees a beautiful painting, I see, you've seen those paintings, right? It's like, oh, look at this beautiful piece. What is it? It's like, yeah. And she loves to paint. There's actually in the office, there's a painting that she did for me. And she's always been intrigued by painting and art. And so let's say, this is a hypothetical situation. Hypothetical. Let's say that she calls me or texts me or even just we're sitting around. She said, hey, you're not going to believe this. But down here at one of the places in town, on Friday nights, which we don't really have a lot going on Friday nights, from 7 to 8 o'clock, they're offering an 8-week painting class for couples. And she looks at me like, and I'm like, not really interested, am I? Now what am I going to do? Chad gets a starburst at the end of this. That's right. That's right. Now, here's the point I'm trying to make. Why am I going to go paint? Not to stay out of the doghouse. Not just. I'm going to paint for one reason and one reason only. My relationship with my spouse is very important to me. And if I want that relationship to get stronger, I don't know if y'all have a perfect relationship with your spouse. If you do, boy, we want to hear you talk. But if I want that to grow and to get stronger, then it's important for me to be in tune to what's important to her. And this concept of being in tune to what's important to them is the key to any relationship growing. If I want my relationship with my children to get better, what am I going to do? I'm going to be into things that what? They're into. If I want any relationship to grow, spouse, children, friends, God, if I'm not tuned into and dialed into, what they're tuned into and dialed into, that relationship is going to be very, very rough. And I'm here to break the news to us all. God is not tuned in to greed. It's not on his radar. Participating in greed means you're not participating in God. You know what God is tuned into? Generosity. Compassion. We serve the creator of the universe whose natural thing to do is to give and to create, to produce and create. One of the principal tenets of Jesus, who came and said, I'm the representative of this God, that I'm the God in the flesh. Here's one of my things, is this, to forgive, to give love, to give blessings, who gave a son, who gave his life for the world. Why is greed so deadly? Because it's the opposite of where God's going. And if we want to be a better disciple, which I think I do, I don't know if y'all, I'm trying, I'm struggling, then the whole thing that I need to do is look at my life and say, one, where does your greediness exist? Because it's probably there. Now, how do we know? Right? Some of us can be participating in greed and we don't even know it. How do we know? I want to leave you with this question. This question. This question for us to ponder together. Maybe to ponder with a friend. Maybe to, you know, somebody that you trust, you can bounce this off of and say, man, I've been thinking about this question because I've been thinking about it all week. In the game of life, and I don't mean the board game, in your game of life, are you winning or are you losing? Answer yourself. Are you winning or are you losing? Now, what does that have to do with anything? Well, if you're winning, you're content. You're seeing yourself as blessed. You're seeing self, as King said, a person who is the creature and not the creator. But if you're losing, that means that you don't see your life as blessed. You don't see yourself as content. And the temptation is, how am I going to get more to where I can get there? And that is where greed can step into our lives. Because if you are a disciple of the Almighty, following, learning to love and to forgive, you're winning. You're winning. And maybe our prayer is, God, help me to see that and to be content. And then my mindset isn't to look around and say, how can I get more and how can I get ahead, but how can I use what you've given me to be gracious and loving to others. And it might not simply be resources. It might not simply be money. It might be time. It might be, I'm not going to strive for this powerful place. I'm going to be content. And that's how we become a blessing to the world. I want to pray for us. God, we are greedy people. and we confess. And maybe we have different types of ways in which it's all about us, and we feel like we're getting the short end of the stick. Remind us that we're here this morning. Remind us that you have given us forgiveness. You have given us grace. You have given us all of these blessed things that we don't deserve. And because of that, we are full. We thank you for Jesus, who came to show us these things so that we could have life and have life abundantly. Right here. Right now. And as we go out from this place and the world tempts us to get ahead and that we're somehow behind, remind us that we are full and to be content. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your many blessings, and because they are many. and the times that we're distracted to concentrate on the things that aren't right and the things that aren't going our way, remind us of just how much is right and is going our way. In the resurrected name of Jesus, we all said, amen.